Will Sean Payton be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints in 2022? We'll play a little game of what if with two excellent candidates if the Saints do need to find a new head coach moving forward. And we'll take an early sneak peek at Mock Draft Monday, why Jameson Williams should be the pick at 18. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks as always for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, Canal Street Chronicles, Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. Now, today's episode is a little bit of a bonus episode for you. We'll get an extra episode in this week. We still have Mock Draft Monday on the way as well, but I wanted to quickly kind of come through and address all of the big question marks that are now continuing to pile up and are surrounding the New Orleans Saints and their head coach in head coach Sean Payton. Now, I'm going to be very, very clear here that I'm not here to speculate on anything. I'm not here to report anything. I am here to talk as an analyst about what this all means, right? Usually I would wait until there is a what before I dive into how and why it's important. But as of right now, the news is just all over the place and everything. So we have the what. Let's talk about how and why. So the first thing that I want to start off with is whether or not how I feel about the reports around Sean Payton, right? And I kind of put this out already. My thoughts around the Sean Payton reports, which if you've missed it at any point, we've seen Albert Breer report already that Sean Payton was getting interest from television stations and things like that. We saw other reports that Sean Payton would be the Dallas Cowboys head coach. We've seen reports he was going to be the Chicago Bears head coach. We've seen reports that he'd be, you know, the Giants would be interested in him. Like, of course, every position that's open should be interested in Sean Payton as a head coach. But the most recent thing coming out Sunday morning, Ian Rappaport giving out his report around the idea that Sean Payton has not yet made it clear that he will, or made, you know, his intent clear that he does indeed want to return and or intends to return to coach the New Orleans Saints in 2022. Now, I don't know about y'all, but to me, what this feels like is reporting on something that hasn't been said as opposed to reporting on something that has been said, which is where I've sort of put all of my thoughts out there already and said, this is how I feel about this situation. It's more important to me that we talk about what is being said as opposed to speculating loosely around what hasn't been said. And so far, nothing has been said, right? There's no report that's saying that Sean Payton is considering retirement. There's no report that Sean Payton is, you know, any report that Sean Payton has told anyone in his circle that he's not coming back to New Orleans. Like, those reports don't exist. So therefore, this story right now is all speculatory. It's all trying to fill in blanks, right? So I don't want to go super far into trying to fill in the blanks for anybody or anything like that. But I am happy to sit here and talk about what this could potentially mean for the New Orleans Saints. So we'll talk about sort of a what-if scenario here in just a moment. But in terms of where the New Orleans Saints are right now, the Senior Bowl is right around the corner. HBCU Combine is next week. First week of February is a Senior Bowl. Right after that is a Super Bowl. According to Jeff Duncan from NOLA.com, Sean Payton is expected, at least at this point, to be at the Senior Bowl as well as to be at the Super Bowl. And if that's the case, then it seems that all things are just going to continue to move forward. Here's my example around all of this. When I finished up my episode on Friday of Locked On Saints, and I said, we'll be back with you on Monday with our Mock Draft Monday episode. Now, I'm coming back a little bit earlier, right, with everything going on. We're going to take an early sneak peek at Mock Draft Monday here in a second. But I told you that I was going to be coming back on Monday. If I didn't do that, right, if I just said, all right, y'all, I'm out, at the end of my Friday episode, there would be no speculation around the idea that I was going to come back and do a Monday episode. We promise your team every day. I will be here to talk about your team every day. I don't have to tell you that I'm coming back. You just know, because it's my job, right? Sean Payton is under contract for another 3 years. Sean Payton doesn't have to say, I'll be back next season, in case anyone was wondering. It's assumed, or should be assumed, that he will be back next season. Instead, what's happening now is that as he's not, you know, replying to reporters or things like that, you know, apropos Rappaport's report there, since they're not getting the information or getting the answer, nonetheless, instead of just assuming, yes, that he'll be back, it seems like the assumption is, oh, well, maybe he's contemplating it. And to me, I can't come in and really comment on that, right? I can't say, oh, well, it looks like Sean Payton's out. I'm not going to say that, right? My expectation, just like many folks within local media, is that Sean Payton will be back in 2022. Is there a possibility that he won't be? Of course, absolutely. It's just like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where last week, everything's running together. The last time we talked about this topic, when the Albert Breer report came out and the other reports came out about, you know, national interest, national media interest and stuff like that. And of course, national media is interested in Sean Payton. He's fantastic in front of a microphone or on camera. He's great. So all of that made sense. But when we talked about it, we said, you know, is it possible that Sean Payton does end up taking a year off or going away or doing something like that? Yeah, of course, he's a human being. And he just went through probably one of the most trying times, seasons as a head coach since he's been in New Orleans. He also got married in June, right? So this is really his first vacation, right? He got married in June and then they were in camp and then they had an entire season that was a trying season, a tough season with left turns, right turns, you know, U-turns, roundabouts, all of it, a whole bunch of stuff going on all throughout the season that is just plain exhausting. And that's what a lot of reports are saying, like valid reports. Or saying that Sean Payton was exhausted at the end of the season. So yeah, take a vacation, dude, and take a vacation as a newlywed still, because it's probably the first vacation that they've gotten to take that's not the honeymoon. So you better believe I'm not texting you back if you're texting me and you're asking me, hey, what's going on? You coming back and you're not within the organization? Yeah, get out of here. I'm not responding to you right now. So that's just my own like personal anecdote. I don't know if that's really the case, but you know, if it was, do I blame Coach Payton for that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is a guy that invests so much time, energy, focus on the human condition of his players that to sit here and have questions around him while he is caring for his own human condition on vacation just seems weird. It just seems intrusive, if I'm being honest. So look, it is what it is, and we'll figure it all out, right? We'll see it. Once there is something to say, then we will know for sure. At most, this is a Drew Brees last few years situation, right? In which, yeah, I'm going to muddle it over. I'm going to think about it and everything. That's like at most that you could even assume right now. But right now, there's no indication that that's even actually the case. So let's talk about what if, right? Let's go Marvel here for a little bit. Let's go what if. What if the Saints needed to find a new head coach next season? I've got two options, one of which is in-house, one of which outside of the facility. Let's talk about those two options. Just have a little bit of fun, right? Who would be good options for the New Orleans Saints at head coach if they needed to go that route? We'll talk about that. And we'll get to an early sneak peek at Mock Draft Monday as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And before we get into all of our kind of what if scenarios here, let's live in reality for just a moment. And the reality of the matter is that if you're eating one of those kind of like generic over-the-counter protein bars, you deserve a better protein bar. Here we are 23, 24 days into 2022. Don't live in the 2015, 2014 protein bar era, all right? Get out of all of that. Get out of the trends, all that, and instead, make sure that you are checking out Built Bars, the best tasting protein bars on the market, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar and actually rivals candy bars, most of the time beats candy bars in blind taste testing. They give you everything that you need in terms of flavor, protein, all of that, but low in sugar, low in carbs, high in fiber, high in protein, and high in deliciousness. They give you everything that you need, and they're covered in 100% chocolate. So go and check them out for yourself. Head over to built.com. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15. Use the numerals. Make sure you get 15% off of your next order. It doesn't matter if it's your first or your next. It's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of the best tasting protein bars on the market with built.com. All right, Houdat Nation, continuing on with this bonus episode of Locked On Saints. And as always, I thank you very much for making us your first listen of the day. Just a big announcement in case you missed it. We're going to be at the Super Bowl this year on Radio Row. Peacock and Williamson, Locked On NFL, Locked On Saints, we're all going to be there. Peacock and Williamson in particular are going to be creating a whole bunch of programming around Radio Row. So make sure that you are checking them out. Peacock and Williamson NFL show, our flagship show here on the Locked On NFL portion of the Locked On Podcast Network. Go and check it out wherever you get your podcast. Now, we're talking about Sean Payton today, right? Sean Payton, all the rumors that are circulating around him. Is he going to be back in 2022? At this point, of course, no one can say anything for sure. The only person that can say something for sure is, well, Sean Payton. But as of right now, I don't see the need to assume that he won't be around. But let's have just a little bit of fun. Let's live in the fantasy world here. There's no fun about losing Sean Payton. It would be terrible for the team, potentially could lead to other kinds of shifts and things like that. We've always talked about how Sean Payton's coaching tree hasn't really taken off the way that you would expect it to. And maybe that's because those coaches that would be a part of his coaching tree are busy still coaching for Sean Payton and want to coach for Sean Payton, right? That could be a big part of that. So if Sean Payton's not there, does that create some kind of exodus of other coaches, positional coaches, special teams coaches who should be high on people's radars anyway because they've created the best special teams unit, one of the top five special teams units across the NFL over the past few seasons, right? Could that impact the defensive staffing, the offensive staffing? What does that mean for Pete Carmichael? What does it mean for even above Sean Payton, right? The, you know, general management structure, the organizational structure, all of that. It could cause a pretty big shift, right? Losing Sean Payton is not just losing Sean Payton. So when I say let's have a little bit of fun, I don't genuinely mean fun, but let's play around a little bit and talk a bit about sort of the Marvel what if scenario. What if the New Orleans Saints need to find a new head coach? Let's talk in-house first, because we talked about sort of the ripple effect that could come with losing a Sean Payton. One of those pieces could be a guy that's already getting head coaching interviews. He has an interview on Tuesday with the Chicago Bears, defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, who has consistently made this defense in New Orleans better and better and better and has morphed this New Orleans Saints team more and more into a defensive team. And this is coming from historically bad 2014, 2015 when he took over to still pretty bad 2016, but better starting in 2017 once the personnel got addressed, and then better again in 2018 when you go out there and you land a guy like DeMario Davis, better in 19, better in 20, and better this year in 2021 where this defense won games, right? This defense won games and is a big reason why the New Orleans Saints hit that sort of 9-8 floor that we all expected for them as a healthy team, as a completely decimated team in the end, right? So I think you look at Dennis Allen and he is a clear-cut candidate for the New Orleans Saints head coaching job. I think it's the one that people would most logically point to and all of that. He already knows the culture. He won as a head coach for the New Orleans Saints against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions that they shut out 9-0 partway through the season, all of that. So you have everything sort of in place for a guy like Dennis Allen to step into that role should he desire to be there. The coaches around him like him, respect him. The defensive staff would probably stay mostly intact. With that being the case, you would probably see like Ryan Nielsen potentially bump up to defensive coordinator in that situation as well, which keeps him in the building. Chris Richard continues to be a secondary defensive backs coach. Don't forget Dennis Allen was a secondary coach in his past as well, so they've certainly bonded over time. Michael Hodges continues to be a linebacker coach. So things kind of stay in place on the defensive side, but you would expect to potentially see some shifts over on the offensive side, or Pete Carmichael sticks around and he finally gets to call plays. You know what I mean? And so there's all of these other kinds of different ways that that all could shift and go, not to mention all of the front office shifts that are there. Now, if you want to talk about the big shift that could take place, that would be bringing in a new coach altogether. Somebody that is not in the locker room already, somebody that the teams are not familiar with, all of that. And what kind of coach makes sense in that case? Should the New Orleans Saints go the route of, in that, you know, in this hypothetical scenario, what if they went the route of the NFL to the young sort of, you know, wonder kid offensive coach? No, I'm not talking about Joe Brady. I'm thinking Mike McDaniel, the offensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. I mentioned the other day that once Mike McDaniel becomes a head coach in the NFL, because make no mistake, he will be a head coach in the NFL, whether it's this year, next year, or at least in the near future, it's going to happen. This guy has had a meteoric rise that is not one that was an immediate takeoff like we saw with Joe Brady, but he's been working within the NFL since like 2005 as an intern with the Chicago Bears, if I remember correctly. Then he went up to, you know, offensive assistant with Washington, wide receiver coach. Then he went to running backs coach. Then he, you know, was an offensive assistant and worked with wide receivers again with the Atlanta Falcons the season that they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, you have all of this sort of connectivity there. And then he was the run game coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers in 2017 to 2020. And now in 2021, he's the offensive coordinator. So that was his trajectory, right? It has been a meteoric rise, but one that has taken time. And you've had to sort of respect the grind of a guy like Mike McDaniel, who is just the most pleasant personality in the world, despite that long grind, right? That's another thing that you love. You talk about kind of culture fits. Mike McDaniel is a culture fit with just about any of today's NFL players. Like, let's be real. So that's the other thing that I look at. Now, in terms of numbers and what it is that he has done, you look at what he did with the San Francisco 49ers this year, to where they were just outside the top 10 in points scored. They were seventh in the NFL when it came to total yardage, third in the NFL when it came to total yardage. They were the seventh in rushing, sixth in passing, or vice versa. I mean, they've been outstanding. You look back at the 2019 season, where he led as the run game coordinator, and he led the third ranked rushing team in terms of yardage and the first ranked rushing scoring team in the NFL. That was the year that they went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, by the way, throughout all of this, right? 2020 was kind of a blank slate because of all of the injuries. They got decimated. They went to the Greenbrier and they had thus a Greenbrier season, right? They should have known not to do that. You look at the other piece here, which is an individual performance. Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel in 2019 had a nice season, 15 games, 57 receptions for 802 yards and 3 receiving touchdowns. He averaged 11.4 yards on the ground, but only carried the ball 14 times that season. In 2021, after coming back from an injury in 2020, he's a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro. 1,405 receiving yards in the season, led the NFL in yards per attempt, or yards per catch, rather, and then ran the ball 59 times, right? Touched the ball a ton and then scored 8 touchdowns on the ground as well as 6 touchdowns through the air. The guy is remarkable. So if you think about what it is that potentially a guy like Mike McDaniel can do with a guy like Debo Samuel, and then you think about what he could do with a guy like Alvin Kamara, a guy like Deontay Harris, a guy like a rookie that he sort of identifies as, I want to work with this player in the system, then all of a sudden he becomes somebody that's really, really intriguing for you. So again, there's absolutely nothing out there that's saying that Sean Payton is definitely not going to be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints in 2022. We'll get more clarity and stuff like that as there are reports based upon what has actually been said, as opposed to trying to fill in blanks and everything. Nick Underhill put it great that, you know, people are just trying to fill in silence right now. So let's not do that. But when it comes down to the identification of, hey, who are some of the fun candidates that could potentially replace Sean Payton, if that were the case, Dennis Allen, Mike McDaniel, two vastly different candidates, one in-house, one outside of the organization, one offensive mind, one defensive mind, but regardless, prolific minds in the industry in their own right. All right, let's get out of the fantasy world of head coaching. Let's go instead to the fantasy world of players. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek of this week's mock draft. Monday, going wide receiver in the first round. Let's talk about why Jameson Williams could be the first selection for the New Orleans Saints, despite the injury. We've got that and much more for you coming up as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about, you know, you're talking about getting some gas in this offense, right? Whether it's what Mike McDaniel was able to do with Debo Samuel, what Jameson Williams could potentially do for the New Orleans Saints. But let me talk to you a little bit more about getting some gas in your vehicle, right? Because right now gas prices are insane. They're high. They're ridiculous. Remember how I slapped that protein bar out of the hand? If I could, I would slap gas stations out of people's hands when they try to hand it to me. So instead, because I can't do that, I have something else in my hands. It's the app GetUpside that I absolutely love. It's my favorite app right now because it's saving me money, right? What it does is that basically you go to a select gas station. After you fill up your vehicle, you take a picture of the receipt, upload it, and they give you 25 cents or up to 25 cents cash back on each gallon on your fill-ups. It's really, really great. And then you can kind of pull that out directly to your bank account. You can send it to PayPal. I usually do gift cards. I like my Amazon gift cards. Buying new stuff for the podcast, all of that, right? It's my own investment in myself every time that I drive, and I like that. And then on top of all that, they actually give you a 25 cent bonus. If it's your first time downloading the app, just use the promo code TOUCHDOWN, and they give you up to 50 cents back per gallon on your very first fill up. So go and check it out for yourself. Like, there's no catch to all of this at all. Just go and download the app, GetUpside. Don't forget to use that promo code TOUCHDOWN so you can get up to 50 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. We're taking an early look at Mock Draft Monday. We'll still have a Mock Draft Monday episode. This is just an extra episode for everybody around all of the Sean Payton stuff. But I also want to take just kind of an extra look at the mock draft that I'm going to have coming out. New 7-round mock draft. We'll also look at the Locked On NBA, NFL mock draft, and other mocks from all of you, from listeners. So if you still haven't sent mock drafts in yet, send them over to me. You can send them to me on Twitter. You can send them to me in the Locked On Saints Facebook group, which you can join at facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints, or however you would prefer to send them in. I'll make sure that I highlight a couple as well. Just like to talk about as many different prospects as possible to help you get ready for not only the draft, but free agency, to see what kind of molds are out there, what types of players you like, all of that. So let's talk a little bit about what I did last week and what I tried to do this week. Last week, what I did was I started with an offensive lineman in the first round so that we can kind of talk about pass catching options at wide receiver and tight end in the second and third rounds. This week, I went straight to wide receiver right off the bat. And all of you know, Chris Olave is my number one. And if you don't, I'll tell you now, Chris Receiver is my wide receiver one. He is my number one wide receiver. If he is on the board at 18 and somebody like Charles Cross or one of these really fantastic, like plug and play ready offensive tackles, particularly left tackles, isn't available, Chris Olave is my pick right off the bat. I'm sprinting to the thing. I'm not waiting for the clock to run all the way down. I'm getting there before the clock starts ticking if I can. So that's me personally, right? So that's kind of how I look at the wide receiver spot. But I know a lot of folks really like Jameson Williams out of Alabama. And I know the argument against Jameson Williams is that he tore his ACL in the national championship game, which might mean that he's not ready for the 2022 NFL season, right? As he goes through surgery, has to rehab, all of that. That, of course, is very, very possible. We've certainly seen that happen before. We've also seen the Saints have medical issues before with players. I mean, we just saw it last season with, you know, a Michael Thomas at wide receiver who was trying to, you know, who needed to get that offseason surgery and things like that. It didn't happen on time, all these other things. And so how much do you really feel comfortable bringing in an injured player in the midst of his rehabilitation process? A, because of the player, and then B, just simply around the reputation of like the bad luck the Saints have had in that area. It's not really a malpractice conversation. It's just a bad luck conversation, right? So with all of that, you risk the setback. But instead of focusing on that, instead of focusing on why he shouldn't be the pick, let's talk about why he should. Let's talk about why he should. Because 1,561 receiving yards and 15 touchdowns is nothing to just turn your nose up at and say this guy has no value, right? He had 78 receptions on 115 targets in college. That's 67.8% catch percentage. That's pretty insane. Like, that's really, really good for a wide receiver that is consistently getting the focus of SEC defenses, right? Including a Georgia defense that absolutely dominated after he was out of the game. I'm not saying that Georgia only won because Jameson Williams wasn't in the game, but I'm just saying that Jameson Williams was still making plays against that Georgia defense, just like he did in the SEC championship. So even up against elite competition on national television, which is where we tend to go negative about players, we were trending positive about Jameson Williams. You think about AJ Terrell, you think about Nicholas Petit-Frere, who struggled against Aiden Hutchinson and you know, for the Ohio State tackle going up against Aiden Hutchinson, the Michigan pass rusher. There was nothing about that when it came to Jameson Williams, right? He continued to impress throughout the entire season. There was one point in November that over the course of three games, he had 10 different plays of over 20 yards in that offense. He is an explosive player. And when I think about the things that New Orleans needs in terms of a receiver, a wide receiver, not a tight end, not a pass catcher, what they need at wide receiver is a dynamic big play threat. And Jameson Williams is absolutely that person, not just because he can beat you over the top, but also what he has the ability to do with the ball in his hands. We mentioned over 1,500 receiving yards. 722 of them coming after the catch with the ball in his hand. Just insane. 9.3 yards after catch per reception. So on average, this guy's getting you a first down. On average, right? And that's in college, right? The field is smaller in the NFL. It's not as wide in college. The hash marks aren't as wide in college. The defenses are more compact. The game is more compact. The defenders are faster, right? We know all of that. We know all of that. But what he is showing you, even though it's not one-to-one transferable to the NFL, if you look at what receivers of his caliber have been able to do once they get to the NFL, Ja'Marr Chase, DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, all of these guys that have come in and have immediately provided their team with exactly what it is that they wanted, Devonta Smith, all of these guys have been able to do it. And they don't translate, again, one-to-one every time. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, those guys are exceptions. They're otherworldly. But could Jameson Williams, I'm already seeing where that can be complicated, where Jameson Williams could be, is otherworldly. 6'2", 189 pounds. The guy puts on a little bit of extra weight. He is those guys in terms of his ability, his speed, if he can maintain it, would be 4.3 speed. And then his size. He is the appropriate combination of height, weight, speed, right? Especially if he can put on another like 10 pounds or so, which is not a big ask coming into the NFL. So I wanted to just kind of focus on, instead of just why Jameson Williams can't be a first round pick, why he shouldn't be the pick for the New Orleans Saints, just a quick early sneak peek at why he could, depending upon how his rehabilitation goes and all of those other things. Like, all those questions have to get answered, but in order for him to get drafted, all those questions have to be answered, right? So I think we'll talk more about it in the Mock Draft Monday episode, but Jameson Williams will be our first round pick, and then we're going to talk about how the board falls after that and why it would be a wise decision in that case to double dip at wide receiver, and probably is a good idea to double dip at wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints anyway. So we got that coming up for you in our next episode as we dive into Mock Draft Monday. Hope you enjoyed this kind of bonus, a little bit more casual episode, just talking through all the Sean Payton news and everything like that. So we'll be right back with you with more as we continue on here on Locked On Saints. And as always, thank you very much for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Don't forget to also go and check out Locked On Bets. Win yourself some money with your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Enjoy everything else, all the festivities for the rest of this Sunday. We'll be back with you tomorrow with more. We appreciate you as always for coming through. As always, for everything you need around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation, I'll at you.